This week, October 14th, 2014, on The Digital Story, Apple's iPhoto switcheroo in iOS 8, 10 quiet cameras, lithium-ion batteries of the future, all of this and more with yours truly, Derek Story, on The Digital Story. Welcome back to another Digital Story. Have a terrific show for you this week. We'll dig into the weekly update, and then we'll talk a little bit about quiet cameras. And did Apple pull a switcheroo on us with Photos app in iOS 8? We're going to look at all that stuff. Plus, I have the dates for the 2015 workshop schedule. Yes, I got the actual dates nailed down. So we have lots to do today, and I'm going to get to it right now. On the weekly update, story number one. Drobo has announced a new configuration for its mini robotic storage, leveraging 4 2-terabyte HDDs and selling the complete package for $999. The Mini features 2 Thunderbolt ports and 1 USB 3 port, power fail protection with battery backup, and Drobo's Beyond RAID for advanced data protection. So the Drobo Mini is a pretty cool little device. And when I say little, I mean for 8 terabytes worth of storage, it is very portable. It will fit in your backpack easily. It has lots of great features, and you have, like I said, 8 terabytes of storage. Now, $999 might not sound like a bargain basement price for this, and it isn't. Let's be honest, $1,000 is a lot of money. However, compared to the mini configurations of the past that were running $1,300 and $1,400 and up, this is pretty good. And what they did was that they put Samsung hard drives, the spinning platter variety, in this version of the Drobo Mini instead of SSD on solid state technology. So they were able to give you more storage for less money by making this adjustment. And I have to tell you, I'm carrying around a spinning platter in my Western Digital wireless 1 terabyte drive, and it really isn't a problem. It isn't a problem at all. I love having the solid-state storage in my MacBook Pro because it's so fast. You know, so when I'm doing my day-to-day stuff, solid-state is terrific. I love it. When I want pure storage, when I want to store a lot of stuff, then spinning platters just gives you more bang for your buck. And it looks like a good move that Drobo made with the Mini. The link that I have in the show notes will take you right to the Drobo site where they're selling this particular configuration. I had to dig around for a bit to find it, but I did. And then, of course, if you want to look at other things while you're over in the Drobo store, you can. In other news, new lithium-ion battery tech could charge in minutes but keep working for decades. A research team in Singapore is proposing a replacement for the typical lithium-ion battery that they say could cheaply and easily be manufactured and yet provide significant benefits such as a 20-year life and super fast recharging. And when they say fast recharging, right now what they're referring to is like a 70% charge in 2 minutes. So this would be great news for our camera batteries and so forth. Not only would they last longer, you know, decades instead of a few years, that would be cool, but they'll also recharge faster. So keep an eye out for this. They're not in existence yet, but they think they figured out how to do it, which means we may be seeing these new cells in 2016 or so, and that would be very cool. And finally, Canon's upcoming 11 to 24 millimeter F4L, which is still a bit of a rumor, right? We don't know for sure that this 11 to 24 millimeter zoom that will work on full frame cameras and APS-C bodies. We don't know that it's a reality yet, but we suspect that it is. So that's the good news. We're pretty sure it's going to happen. 11 to 24 millimeters, f4, it's an L lens. Great news. The not so great news is that it's probably going to cost around $3,000. And that is a chunk of change. I mean, this is a professional lens, yes. But for instance, the excellent 16 to 35 millimeter f2.8L zoom is about $1,700, just to give us some perspective on that. So again, all of this is speculation. If you have your heart set on the 11 to 24 millimeter f4L, you better start clearing some room on your credit card balance. And that is this week's weekly update. Story number two, 10 quiet cameras and 5 very noisy ones. This is fun. I stumbled across this piece in issue 17 of CT Digital Photography magazine. That's the current issue. And I was reading, it's like a 12-page article where they go over 30 cameras, 30 common cameras that are available now, mirrorless and DSLRs. And they talk about, you know, what creates noise in a camera and why some cameras are louder than others, and get into all sorts of stuff, how you can possibly dampen the noise a bit. And then they take these cameras, these 30 cameras, and they put them in the lab. And they measure how loud they are in normal mode, in quiet mode if they have it, and in live view mode if they have it. And then they ran this list. In this list, they have the decibel readouts for, you know, each of the cameras in all 3 categories, if they're applicable. I just thought it was really interesting. It was really cool stuff. So what I'm going to do right here, by the way, if you have issue 17 of CT Digital Photography, this article starts on page 90. And like I said, it's 12 pages and it's really cool. It goes into a lot of depth, as you would expect with this magazine. This is what they do. But for you right now, I have the 10 quietest cameras, and then I have the 5 noisiest ones. And I thought that would just be fun. So from, you know, number 1 here will be the quietest, and then number 10 on this list will be not quite as quiet. So we're going from quietest to not quite as quiet right now. Number 1, Pentax Q7. Number 2, Pentax Q. Number 3, the Leica T. Number 4, Olympus Pen EP5. Number 5, Fujifilm XE2. Number 6, Olympus OMD EM1. Number 7, Canon EOS M. Number 8, Pentax K5 Mark II. Number 9, Nikon 1 V3. And number 10 on the quiet list, the Leica M. So I think this is very interesting in the sense that mirrorless cameras totally dominated the top 10 here. Plus, 7 of these cameras have a quiet mode that emit virtually no sound during capture. The 3 models that still produce some noise in quiet mode, and that was the Pentax Q7, Pentax Q, and the Nikon 1 V3, were able to substantially reduce the noise in quiet mode up around 40% or so. So quiet mode, even on the ones that didn't go completely quiet, still had a substantial reduction in sound. So those are the quiet cameras. Now, the noisiest cameras. And as you think about this in your brain, I don't think you're really going to be surprised by the 5 noisy cameras. The first one's going to be the noisiest, and then the 5th one will be not quite as noisy. Okay, number 1 on the noisy camera list, the Nikon D4S, the noisiest camera. Number 2, the Canon EOS 1DX. Number 3, the Nikon D800. Number 4, the Nikon D300. And rounding out the noisy five here, in the fifth position is the Nikon DF. And what's fun about this is that even in quiet mode or live view on these cameras, they still created more sound than any of the top 10 models in normal mode, just in normal picture-taking mode. That's how noisy they are. Now, this isn't, you know, this is no way a slam on the noisy cameras. For instance, as I mentioned in a podcast quite a while ago, I think the Nikon DF is really cool. I mean, I would love to have one of those. I probably would not take that Nikon DF and shoot a quiet church ceremony with it, because that would be the wrong tool for the job. It is just too noisy, and there's really no way to quiet it down, right? I mean, you can't, it's not like you can wrap it in a pillow or something and be shooting with these things. So my takeaway on this, other than just pure enjoyment, because I just love the idea of this article, is that it's the right tool for the job. Like I said earlier, if you shoot with a DSLR, and I do still, absolutely, yes, a lot of commercial shoots I shoot with a DSLR. If you do shoot with a DSLR and you rely on that, then you may want to have a quieter camera for those situations where you need to be more stealth. And, you know, that's sort of the point of this. I'm not saying, you know, sell your noisy DSLR and go buy a quiet mirrorless. I'm saying, though, that if you know you're going to find yourself in a quiet situation, make sure you have a quiet camera with you. And if you're wondering, well, what's a quiet camera? Well, we have a list of them right here. And there are more. There are plenty more. For example, I know for a fact that the Panasonic GM1 and the upcoming GM5 both have silent modes that make no noise at all. And they're not on this list, because the GM5 anyway is probably too new. They were working on this, I'm sure, a couple months back, if it's just now showing up in print. But it's good food for thought, and it just helps you realize that it's tough to have one camera meet every situation. And I just think that we need two, sometimes three bodies in our arsenal if we're shooting a lot of stuff. And if you're shooting quiet stuff, you definitely need a quiet camera. Story number three, workshop dates for the 2015 season. So last podcast, I announced the actual workshops and the months that they will be held. Now I actually have dates to attach to those months. And the reason why I try to do this as early as possible, because I have learned over the years that people plan pretty far out. And so they need to know if they can get the time off, and if they can, you know, when is it going to be? And some folks have to put in their requests like now for, let's say, a workshop in June. So anyway, I have the dates ready. I'm going to give them to you right now. And of course, the workshop page on the Digital Story has been updated, and you can go there to find out all the information, including if you want to get on the reserve list for any of these workshops. Use the send me info form there. It only has a couple fields. You just have to choose the workshop that you want to be on the reserve list for. Put in your name, put in your email address, and if you wish, your phone number. And then I'll get back to you and say, hey, you're on the reserve list for this workshop, and you'll have first opportunity to sign up for it when I send out the reservation forms, when I really start filling those seats. So anyway, here we go. So the first workshop is going to be in February, and that's Moving from Aperture to Photos or Lightroom. And that's going to be on February 6 and 7. February 6 and 7 for the Aperture workshop. The San Francisco Street Photography workshop is going to be on April 24 through April 26. So San Francisco in April 24 through 26. The Bodie and Eastern Sierra workshop is going to be June 11 through 13. And the Fall Color with Safari West event is going to be October 23 through 25. So those are the dates. And again, they're on the workshop page. You just have to go to thedigitalstory.com click on Workshops in the nav bar, and everything will be there that you need, including the opportunity to get on the reserve list so that you're first in line when I start sending out the reservation forms for these events. Around the Bodhi workshop, which is the newest of the bunch here, I'm heading out actually tomorrow. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, I'm heading out very early Wednesday morning, very early, for the Eastern Sierra, and I'm going to go scout. I have a couple, I guess you call them hotels, in mind, and I'm going to Bridgeport, which is one of my favorite little towns on the eastern side of the Sierra. I love Bridgeport. So I have a couple places I'm going to check out there, and I'm actually going to try to nail down our accommodations and our meeting room, our workroom for the June workshop. And then I'm going to scout places that we're going to be shooting. Obviously, I know we're going to be shooting in Bodhi. I'm hoping that we'll be shooting in Mono Lake. And then I have some other spots, too, that I think are terrific. So I'll be scouting all that out. As a nice bonus, there's fall color right now, so I'll be able to get some good scenics, some landscapes. And, of course, I'll take pictures of the location where I hope we'll be convening. And other things I'm working out transportation to the Eastern Sierra. For those folks that don't want to drive themselves and stay, I'm going to try to come up with an opportunity for folks to, you know, go with me from the San Francisco area out to the Eastern Sierra. So I'm working on that stuff too. A lot of little moving parts and details, but I'll have more to report on that after I get back from this trip. Really looking forward to it. I can't wait to get over there. I just love shooting and just existing in the Eastern Sierra. So more to come on that. All right, let's get to story number four here. Did Apple shortchange us with Photos.app in iOS 8? This has been interesting. You know, here's the backstory, and a lot of you are very familiar with this. We had in iOS 7 and iOS 6, we had iPhoto for iOS, which was an Apple app which people had to pay for. They paid $4.99, I believe, for iPhoto for iOS. And what they received in return was a full-bodied app that allowed you to tag, allowed you to rate, to organize, to image edit your photos. And it worked very well with the iOS system. And it also worked pretty well with the whole iCloud system. So basically, what Apple created with iPhoto for iOS was an app that worked well with the rest of the ecosystem and was very full-featured on its own. And like I said, we had to pay for it. It wasn't free. We shelled out basically $5 for that app. Life was pretty good. You know, the thing that we always hope on this sort of thing is that these apps will continue to evolve and be easier to use, have more functionality, you know, all that kind of stuff. What happened when iOS 8 was announced and subsequently rolled out, it's, you know, I have it on my phone and my iPad right now, is that iPhoto for iOS no longer worked, but now we're supposed to use Photos app for iOS. And, you know, we already had Photos before. It was free. It's always been there. It's not like they created a new app for us. So what they did do, though, with the new Photos for iOS 8, was they certainly added better image editing tools. And I've written articles about this, and I'll have links in the show notes. So now you have things like shadows and highlights adjustment in, you know, the Photos app. And, you know, a lot, have some really great black and white tools where not only can you convert images to black and white, but you actually have control over how the black and white is rendered. So it's pretty good. I mean, the image editing in the new Photos app is pretty decent. But as a lot of people point out, whenever I talk about the image editing tools in Photos app, they go, but What about all the other stuff? What about the slideshows, for example? You know, and what about the galleries and all, you know, and all that stuff that they had in iPhoto for iOS that they don't have now? And there really isn't an answer. There's conjecture, right? In other words, I could say, well, my educated guess is that this is a 1.0, really, of photos, and that is going to evolve over time, and that it will end up probably being better and more integrated than iPhoto for iOS. That's my guess, but I don't know for sure, because lots of things can happen, you know, on the road to Nirvana. And one of them might be is Apple might decide, well, they don't really need all that stuff they had in iPhoto for iOS because we decided they don't need it. They may never give it to us again. We don't know. However, we are seeing some glimmers of possibilities. And one of those possibilities is something called photo extensions. Photo extensions. So Photos app, the new one now, has basically a portal to the app that third-party developers can add functionality to the existing application using photo extensions. Now, I wrote about this on the Digital Story, and the first one that I've played with is Camera Plus, which is a terrific app for iOS. I really like Camera Plus a lot. It's great for shooting. It also has a terrific, what they call a lab, where you can do a lot of image editing. Very powerful image editing tools, plus lots of filters, which I like. I like filters on the iPhone and the iPad, and all sorts of very robust goodies. The latest version of Camera Plus takes advantage of the photo extensions so that now you can use all of those tools that are in Camera Plus, you can use them in the Photos app, which saves you from having to bounce around from application to application in order to get a specific set of tools. So now, for example, in Photos app, I can open an image, then I can tap Edit, then I can go up to the upper left corner where there are three dots in a circle, that's the More button, tap on that, and then I can choose More again and basically turn on the switch for Camera Plus. When I do that, then when I go into edit mode and hit More, then the tools in Camera Plus are available if I tap on the Camera Plus icon within the Photos app. That probably sounded, you know, tougher than it really is. It's really very easy. Just takes a minute to set up. I published an article in the Digital Story where I literally walk you through the steps. Step one, step two, step three. You do it once and it's a piece of cake. Camera Plus is definitely one of those apps that are taking advantage of photo extensions. And I think we're going to see more. What Camera Plus did was, you know, and what they do well, is they do the image editing side of the equation. People are going, okay, great, we got more image editing in Photos, but what about the other stuff? The other stuff may also see some third-party development, and that's what we're going to wait and see. So that's the part where we have to say, I don't know if Apple's going to give us this or that, but is a third-party developer going to give it to us? And if they do, would it be better than what Apple would have done? And would we have more options than if Apple did it? In other words, if Apple did it, it's going to be one way and it's going to be their way. Third-party developers, we could have three or four different slideshow modules in the Photos app. We'll have to wait and see. So then the question is, did Apple pull a switcheroo on us? And the answer is right now, yeah, they did. They did, because right now, what we have isn't as good as what we had in iOS 7 that we paid for, that has been disabled for us. We don't even get to choose on that. At least on the Mac, when Yosemite comes into play, then the Photos app there, which also has basically photo extensions too, at least we have the option of still using Aperture and still using iPhoto in Yosemite. We don't have that option in iOS 8. They didn't give us the iPhoto for iOS option. So in that sense, I think they did pull the switcheroo on us. Now, is the story going to have a happy ending? That remains to be seen. It does. That remains to be seen. In all honesty, the happy ending depends on developers outside of Apple, because I don't think that Apple will develop photos to the point they did for iPhoto for iOS. I think they're going to rely on third-party developers to do that. We'll wait and see. We'll find out. For now, you know, those of you that write me and say that you're upset about the switcheroo, and it seems like you feel like you should, you know, get your $5 back or something, I don't know about that, but I think your concerns and your frustration are legitimate, and I'm just hoping for a happy ending when this is all said and done. Okay, let's take care of a little virtual camera club news. The photo assignment for October is water. Water is our photo assignment. And one of those entrants into the photo assignment will win a free Sizzle Picks as part of the Sizzle Picks Pick of the Month, sponsored by Sizzle Picks, SizzlePix.com. They have a tile on all the pages of Digital Story. And it's a very nice benefit to not only be part of a gallery with your peers for each photo assignment, but then to have the opportunity to have your winning picture sizzled. That's very nice. And we thank Sizzle Picks for that. And Sizzle Picks, by the way, reminds you that don't wait too long if you're going to order a Sizzle Picks for the holidays. Get ahead of the curve. Get your order in now. Make it a stress-free operation. Stress-free is good. Because remember, it's a double whammy when you give a Sizzle Picks. It's the image that you've selected for the lucky recipient, and it's like a retina display that you hang on the wall. SizzlePix.com. And they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. And our folks over at Red River Paper, they have been busy. One of the things I've noticed that if you go to their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/redriverpaper, and you sign up for the newsletter, you really have an opportunity to save even more on paper, because in the newsletter and on their Facebook page, they run specials all the time. And they say, you know, this month, you know, Ultra Pro Gloss is 20% off, 30% off satin this month. They're always running something. What's nice about that is that you can stock up on paper and always be buying it at the lowest price possible. It's already low because you're buying from Red River Paper. They make the paper and they sell the paper and they pass those savings along to you. And then on top of that, they run these specials. So if you print at all and you want to have a selection of paper to choose from when you go to print, I encourage you to sign up for their newsletter, follow them on Facebook, and take advantage of those special offers when they run them, because they run them all the time. It's just a matter of waiting until the stock that you want comes up on special. Buy a box, have it, and when it's time to print, you'll go, God, I'm so glad I got that Polar Arctic Luster stock, because I just love printing on it. Anyway, Red River Paper, they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. What else here? I think that's going to do it. I think that's going to do it for us. Yep. I'm going to head out to Eastern Sierra. I'm gonna publish this podcast and roll and take pictures. I'm taking the OMD EM10, a couple lenses, my iPad mini, and the Western Digital wireless hard drive, and that's pretty much it for tech. That's all I need. All fits in a nice little backpack. I'm going to take the photo hatchback, the LowPro Photo Hatchback 16L, and I'm just going to be the nimblest of photographers while I explore the Eastern Sierra. I'll tell you about it and other happenings next week. Please come back and join me for next week's show. Until then, have a great week. Bye-bye now.